love to pop, not soda.
It's pop. Like this. Pop.
Welcome to Pop, Not Soda. And now it's time for Brian and... Oh, damn. Enjoy the show!
Welcome to Pop Not Soda. We're back. We hope you didn't miss us too much on our week off, but we have finally returned for episode 6 of our second season. Yeah. My name is Dan, and as always, I am joined by my friends Brett and Brian. How are you doing, fellas?
Howdy, guys. Doing great. Nice, relaxing week off. Hit the spa.
Did you get your nails done?
No, I didn't say I got a manicure. I said I hit the spa. Way different. You know, hung out, caught up on some shows, pampered myself a little bit.
But you look relaxed.
This guy was going nuts about the leftovers. He was texting me relentlessly about the leftovers on our break. And yeah, it sounds like a good show.
Yeah, I know that I talked about it briefly on my What I'm Watching segment. But yeah, the show is a fucking trip, and it just gets like crazier every episode, but it's really well done. So if you were a fan of Lost, this reminds me a lot of Lost, but like more believable. Yeah. Where Lost just at a certain point goes completely off the rails and just gets really crazy. And this show might turn out to be, because they're only doing one more season. I can't imagine that they're going to be able to explain everything that's going on.
You know, that's how a lot of people describe our podcast. It's a lot like Lost.
Yeah, absolutely.
What did I just listen to? Brian was much more productive than I did. He at least watched some stuff. I literally sat on the couch for, I think, the entire break.
Stared at just a wall?
Yeah, I mean, I was probably playing on my iPad, you know, playing some apps and doing that thing. But beyond that, nothing. It was literally nothing.
Well, I'm glad that you admitted it. That's always the first step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, yes. speaking of your iPad... I know while we've been gone, this has been a hot topic, but the Apple battle against the FBI for privacy.
Ooh, baby.
And I have lots of feelings about this situation.
So what's the story so far? What happened?
Hit us with it.
It's all based on the San Bernardino shooting. That's kind of where it's rooted from, right?
Right.
That is the crux of the issue, yeah. So if you don't know, about a couple months ago, two people in San Bernardino... shot up a facility.
Yeah.
And then they were killed shortly thereafter. And there's an iPhone that belonged to one of the shooters, and they believe that these people had ties to ISIS. Terrorist group ISIS. And so the FBI is like, oh, hey, Apple, Tim Cook, can you unlock this iPhone for us so we can get like all this data and read the text messages and all these different things that may be on this iPhone of this deceased maybe terrorist? And Apple responded with no, because we're not going to build a backdoor into our software to give you private information.
And I guess that's something that I didn't know until Dan and I were talking about this story, where I thought it was just straight letting this iPhone get into the hands of the FBI so they could do whatever they want for this single person. That's not the issue that's happening right now and what they're trying to argue for.
No, there's like 12 actual devices from other cases that the FBI is trying to get lobbied to be unlocked by Apple. And they actually want Apple to create and install a backdoor into their devices, which would allow the FBI in the future to then enter and gain information they deem necessary to Homeland Security.
Right.
Which is not cool with me at all, and I'm glad that Apple has basically shut them down at every level with constitutional law and precedent, because I don't want... Because my information isn't as secure as I would, you know, as it could be, but I don't want there to be more ways for people who I don't want to access it to access it.
Yeah, I mean, no one needs to see all your dick pics. But
well, I mean, I've got a Snapchat for that, so the FBI can just check my Snapchat.
Yeah, what an issue where you're really walking the fence and can fall either way, like pretty easily, right? kind of happy that Tim Cook did just give like a middle finger to the FBI and say, go kick rocks.
Oh, yeah. I just,
you reset the password by accident, and now you're coming to me to turn it off. Like, no, go.
I wonder what Steve Jobs would say.
Oh, is that what happened? So they tried to hack into this, or they tried to get into this phone, and then it erased
I don't
the data
know.
Or something like
I have
that,
no
or?
Idea what how they screwed it up, but I mean, I'm pretty sure people who steal iPhones can jailbreak them, and if the FBI can't jailbreak an iPhone, I'm really concerned for the status of our, you know, Homeland Security if
right.
they can't.
What I can't find plausible, though, is that Apple doesn't already have this built in to its devices.
It's because we never read the terms and agreements.
Yeah, I guess not. But, I mean, it's hard because I think in certain situations, you would obviously want them just to unlock the stupid phone so they could take a look. But I also get that this could be a snowball that just creates a precedent where the FBI can do it whenever they want, right? Because then how do you determine what's a legitimate reason to unlock somebody's phone and what isn't? And
like, is this just always going to be proactive or is it going to be preventative? Like, are they going to be hacking into people's, like, are they going to be scooping people's phones before crimes are even committed? Because that's what
Minority
I think.
Minority Report, bro.
Well, that's what I think is a big fear these days is when you see, it's not necessarily a protection of privacy. I've got nothing to hide. I don't think anybody, we're not doing anything that's shady. I think the majority of people aren't doing anything that's necessarily shady in the government's eyes. The problem is, though, is historically, when you hand power like that to people, they abuse the shit out of it. And I think that's what's scary. And that's what a lot of people are going, okay, if we're going to do this, let's tread cautiously towards this approval of building in this program for Apple, because once we do this, it's gone forever. I mean, yeah. that it's just gone. That
I
ship
mean,
sailed.
You should already understand that a lot of the things that you do on the internet isn't protected, that aren't protected. Like if you go in your online shopping on Amazon and then you go to your Facebook profile, all the ads are going to be what you were just looking at Amazon, because your browser is sending that information to those websites.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So it's not like our information is 100% like protected, but the fact that like they want a backdoor available for the future is not something I'm like ready to sign on board for. But apparently Bill Gates is for it, because Bill Gates said Apple should just unlock the phone and give the FBI what they want.
Right.
And that really surprised me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much of... So what's mind-blowing to me on that realm is I think if you put Bill Gates in the situation where a majority of his phones are owned by, you know, the U.S., you know, that's the phone that everybody's using, the damn window phone or whatever the hell that piece of shit is.
Or Android.
He would probably have a different approach, which is making me kind of suspicious of him being so vocal about this.
Oh, yeah, I'm never buying another Windows product because of him saying that.
That's Apple the reason.
Create. Well,
that's what pushed you over the
what
edge.
I'm saying is, like, when it comes to like cheap tablets or stuff, like, yeah, an iPad's expensive as fuck. Like, tablets are under $100.
Yeah.
But it makes me very worried that, like, it made sense too. Like, the reason why there isn't a backdoor is the reason why Apple products are so hard to hack, because that software, those backdoor security installments aren't there in Apple software.
Yeah, they're from what I've heard before, and I have no idea about this stuff, but that stuff is heavily, heavily encrypted.
Yeah, and like I think I was at the App Store once, and this dude couldn't remember his Apple ID, and so his I think iPad was useless because he had signed in and re-registered and changed the email. So because he couldn't verify the Apple ID, they couldn't do anything to save it.
Yeah,
because that's how protected the information is.
Or maybe just how fucking pretentious people are at the Apple Store. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. You forgot your password. Well, you're just going to have to buy another one and start over. Sorry.
Well, no, they just had to reset it. So he was just going to lose everything.
Mm, same difference.
Yeah.
So let's go to like...
They're creating the Nintendo console of cell phones.
Yeah. I was actually just at the Apple Store the other day getting my cracked screen fixed. They did a tremendous job, but God, it's just like a hipster nightmare in there.
Oh, definitely. This is the other thing, real quick, before we leave this.
We're topic. Talking about the Apple Store?
The Apple Store, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
No, when it comes to the FBI, can't they just go down to the morgue and get this dude's like thumbprint and like put it on the iPhone and be like, unlock?
Damn,
then,
Dan.
And then some people say like,
Daniel.
I knew that was coming. There's one. So if you, hey, if you're playing along at home, that's a drinking game for you. Take a sway to whatever beverage you have right now for every damn Daniel.
Hit him with the crime scene investigation, Daniel. Damn.
I think that counts as two, right?
Yeah, I think that's a double whammy right
there. I think that's actually three because I actually said it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We're at three. Catch up.
But yeah, I mean, come on, FBI. Be better. Especially, could you imagine if Trump is president and then you have the FBI who can get into all iPhones and iPads?
I mean, I think that's probably one of our smaller concerns if the first happens.
We're going to be recording this podcast in Mexico if that situation plays out.
You know where we could record this podcast on in international waters would be on like a Grand cruise.
Ooh.
So I would definitely want to go on one of those.
That just happened, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, last week. And I don't understand.
And exactly what I want to do on that cruise is record a fucking podcast with you two assholes.
We'd lose Brian in the first 15 minutes on that cruise.
Like, hey guys, what's up? Okay.
Pop Not Soda here. Dan, how's Brian's... Brian? How's Brian?
People would think we were celebrities if we were on that cruise recording.
Because it was... I saw some Vines and some Snapchat videos, or not Snapchat videos or whatever, the postings or whatever. That is...
I just saw him dancing with like backup dancers.
What? Oh, on the stage.
On the stage. That's all I kept seeing on ESPN. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, who gave him his own cruise ship?
Well, what's
I was so confused.
What's crazy, too, is when you watch that video, I'm like, man, there has to be a double standard for Gronk not getting drug tested because he is definitely on something in that video.
Yeah, well, and it's the off season, so who gives a fuck?
Yeah, that's true.
They don't mess with the off season.
God forbid if Cam Newton dabs, but Gronk can go on a whole cruise with just porn stars and strippers, and
that sounds like he's a fine just player. Saturday night.
Yeah,
you know.
So it was a cruise ship. So he decided to launch a cruise. What? How long ago did this announcement happen?
No idea. I didn't find out about it until it was over, and I was kind of offended.
Oh no. Okay. So I knew about it about a year ago or so.
What?
Yeah. No. This got announced.
Had the inside information.
Yeah. Has this been on your calendar since a year ago when you discovered this?
I did get the Facebook invite.
Is that where you were on our break? Is that where you were?
Gronk cruising it up, man. That's what I'm telling you, man. But no, I heard about it about a year ago, and I was like, that's a pretty ridiculous idea. Did not know when it was going to happen or if it was even going to happen. Then go to find out it does happen last weekend, and holy shit. That looked like a booze cruise and a half. I mean, if a cruise is already meant to consume alcohol and get inebriated to the oomph level, this was on another level.
And, you know, the scary thing is, cruises go into international waters where there's like no laws against anything.
Oh, you're
what are you insinuating?
It's just
the Cosby
Gronk,
cruise.
Gronk
the Cosby
should
cruise
not
stand?
Be in
Gronk in international
Gronk
waters.
Gronk should not have that much power.
Oh man, but yeah. So the footage of have you guys seen any of the videos or anything like that?
I've only seen him just dancing with backup dancers on this stage.
Yeah, but. After you're describing it, I might have to find a quiet room and, you know, 10, 15 minutes on my hands. To
I mean, there's a girl dancing on an inflatable horse. I mean,
not
there,
an inflatable horse.
There are some video. Yeah, it's nothing too ridiculous, but it just makes me wonder what actually happened on that cruise.
Yeah, well,
I think we all know exactly what happened on that cruise.
Yeah, yeah. I think we should play.
Chlamydia was spread around like Tom Brady spreads the football. We'll just say that.
Ooh. I think we should play a little game, though, right now. In time of the Gronk cruise.
That's what I think in lieu of.
Yeah, in lieu of the
means.
Yeah, in lieu of the Gronk cruise. Let's throw a little roundtable game out. If you were on a Gronk, you know you're on a Gronk cruise, because we did this with the Chargers. You know you're on a Gronk cruise when, Dan, you want to take it away?
When you can buy a wristband for unlimited food, unlimited alcohol, and unlimited cocaine.
Okay. How much does that one cost?
Prices are TBD.
Yeah.
It's market value?
Yeah.
Brian, how about you?
Well, I would say, you know you're on a Gronk cruise when you see Bill Belichick with his shirt off.
Is that Lido deck action?
That forearm tan line must be terrible.
He probably has, like, just a weird troll body. Because I don't think I've ever seen him not in at least two layers of clothes.
Oh, God.
And it's all baggy.
You know you're on a Grand cruise when the bathroom provides complimentary Axe body spray and baby oil.
Two essentials.
There you go. All right. You know you're on a Grand cruise when every breakfast comes with a penicillin and a Plan B pill.
Ooh, good one, Dan.
It's my kind of dessert. I didn't know we needed to prepare multiple. Go ahead, Brett.
You know you're on a Grand cruise when the only thing that the security confiscates are condoms.
Oh, Lord. I don't think I can follow that. You got any more, Dan? You holding some gems over there? Anything in your pocket? Besides condoms.
I'm trying to imagine though what it is like. Dan, you're working. It looks like you're working on something over there.
You know, I just
Dan looks like he's got something chambered up, but he's afraid to say it.
I don't want to.
Oh, come on.
All right. We're not trying to make friends on this thing.
You know you're on a Grand cruise win. As you leave, they hand out illegitimate parental paperwork.
Okay.
I struggled with that one. That's not serious, my strongest. But,
all right. We're going to spike that like a football that Gronk spikes.
You know you're on a Gronk cruise when the room is provided with complimentary consent forms.
Oof. Another good one.
Yeah.
Instant classic.
I think that was a good though game.
Yeah,
that was a good game.
I bet you Antonio Cromartie was not allowed on this cruise.
With his 9 children?
11.
11.
By 9 women.
Yeah, I believe didn't he have twins with, was it the last?
I have no idea, but I think he was the inspiration for this cruise, however.
Oh, God.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, that would be funny. What do you think was the number one song playing on the Grand Cruise? Before we wrap up this segment, what do you think the number one song was that played the most during that
easy
time?
Turned Down for What was played on a 12-hour repeat.
I like that.
I was gonna say, yeah. Final Countdown.
Ooh, going so, with is that
I don't think anyone's old enough on that cruise ship.
I just feel like that's a very bro-y song.
I'm going Brian's Avenue though. I think it was Going Down for Real. I bet that was going down a lot.
or maybe it was just Pitbull.
It wasn't the only thing.
Hrap, hrap.
A shuffle of Dale. All Pitbull songs.
I think it's a good place to take a break, though. We got a segment to plug up. We've got an update on the Kickstarter campaign, though, with Sean Mandarino that we'll tease during our
last
little
guest.
Yeah, our little plug right here, and then we'll come back.
I am Fall.
Yeah. My name is Fall.
My name is Fall.
My name is Fall.
God damn it.
But we do have we have some other stuff coming on
We've
after
got
the break, though.
Brian's movie review.
With?
So I had to steer away from my Oscar run of movie reviews because Deadpool came out and I just couldn't miss it. So I'm going to be reviewing Deadpool this week.
And we're going to be talking rated R superhero movies as well as everything that has been going on, that hasn't been going on, and that should be going on with the world of professional wrestling.
Ooh.
Is that possible to actually hit on all of those things?
We can do it. Hey, everybody. Dan from Pop Not Soda. I am here to give you an update on our friend Sean Mangerino's Kickstarter campaign right now. If you listened to our last episode, we had author Sean Mandarino on talking about his new upcoming children's book, My Name is Fall. He's currently running a Kickstarter campaign for this, where you can log on the Kickstarter, search My Name is Fall, it'll take you right there. He is looking for a goal of $2,000. Currently, he's at $1,510, so he's very close to his baseline goal. There's a few stretch goals he has, so you would definitely want to check it out. The book is a children's book. From the point of view of a child in a post-apocalyptic world. Super interesting. The three of us very much excited to see this book published and come out and help Sean meet his goal. So please make sure to head over to Kickstarter, search My Name is Fall, and support Sean's upcoming project for his children's book, My Name is Fall.
Yeah, I know that music gets you excited, not only for its tonal range, but also because you know it's time once again for Brian's Homeless Movie Reviews. This week, I took shelter at a local theater and decided to take in Deadpool. I know I'm having this big Oscar push, and I will get back to that next week, but you know, it's an R-rated Marvel movie, so you know I had to go see it. Deadpool. For those of you who don't know about Deadpool, he is a really unique comic book character. He is a character that actually fully is very apparent to the fact that he's in a comic book, fully aware that he is just a part of this ridiculous story and plays off of that. You see a lot of that in this movie. They do, I think, a really great job of kind of translating just that goofiness and a really, really vulgar humor that Deadpool is known for into this film. It still is a comic book movie. At the end of the day, it is associated with Marvel. So there are a few X-Men that are thrown in there, and you have the potential now for Deadpool to, you know, possibly show up in a lot of other Marvel movies down the line, especially with how popular this movie has become and how much money it's grossed over its first couple weeks out. You know, Ryan Reynolds was the perfect person to cast in this film. Unfortunately, they completely fucked it up during X-Men Origins and like had him with his mouth shut and like blades attached to his hands. Just really bad. What's great about the new updated Deadpool movie is they definitely take shots quite a bit at that film, specifically with how just stupid they made Ryan Reynolds' original character, as well as Wolverine himself, who is just a big stud muffin. And if you see the film, you'll know what I mean. Shout out to Hugh Jackman. I know he listens. Again, though, Ryan Reynolds, perfect cast. So, like, imagine Van Wilder with, like, superpowers, and you get Deadpool. This film really has a lot of pieces that make up my equation for the perfect movie going experience. You have someone getting shot in the face or decapitated. You have jokes that made me laugh out loud, aka LOL for the kids out there, or maybe smiley face hand clap for the younger kids out there. I don't know if that works. I'm too old to understand that. And then three, full frontal nudity, female and or male, preferably female, but you know, preferably female. I just came from Thailand, so it's a very popular term out there. Preferably female, but I appreciate an artistic picture or a naked, newly escaped Ryan Reynolds fighting his archenemy. Bottom line, this movie is absolutely awesome, funny, violent. There's a love story thrown in there. But really well done. I think they did a really great job of taking this unique character who might not necessarily fit the mold of a traditional comic book, you know, blockbuster film, and they really did the character justice, and Ryan Reynolds was awesome. So I think it's not only a great movie to see if you're a comic book fan and action movie fan, but also if you are just a general moviegoer who can appreciate, a vulgar joke and people getting their heads blown off. So my final verdict for Deadpool, I'm giving 5 out of 5.
Ooh, quarters.
The first. Damn, official. Brian.
you should probably say, damn, Deadpool.
Touche.
Yeah, I mean, just fucking ridiculously awesome movie. Really made me in the mood for some chimichangas. And I can't wait for the sequel, because apparently they're going to make one. And also seeing Deadpool pop up in hopefully some other Marvel movies here in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, even from the start of the credits all the way through the end credits and the post-credit scene, it's all Deadpool-tastic.
Yo, yeah. Now, do they have the ability to put him in these in the Marvel movies? Or is it like only still the franchise kind of? Only X-Men stuff. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But they can put him in the X-Men stuff, which is why they had Colossus and Negasonic.
Yeah, because Fox only owns X-Men now.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And I forgot to mention this. I was going to say this. I like this movie so much. I'm putting it number two in my favorite Marvel movies. Number one being Guardians of the Galaxy. Number two, Deadpool. And then three, of course, Howard the Duck.
Of course, everyone has Howard
Duck. Howard the Duck is awesome. George Lucas.
Always in your top three.
So Deadpool, not only did he break box office records for like one of the largest...
Smash them, Dan.
Not only did he smash box office records for one of the, or the largest rated R opening weekend, largest February opening weekend, but there has been an online fan petition for not Ryan Reynolds, but Deadpool to host Saturday Night Live.
So is that how far? Like, that's going pretty far, too. I think they have, what, like 30,000 signatures?
I think more than that.
Yeah. Okay, as of right now.
I think it was like 35,000 a few days ago, so yeah. I got to imagine it's more than that. But, I mean, what the fuck is a petition going to do? Is Lorne Michaels going to be like, oh, yes, well, you know, 40,000 people signed a piece of paper. Let's do it.
Yeah. What I think is funny too is I think
I'm pretty sure only like 25,000 people watch SNL. So
good point.
So it's more Deadpool fans.
Suck it, Lorne Michaels.
So what's cool is if no one knows, Deadpool has been away from the TV and the trailers for the last, I'd say, month or two. Deadpool is, I'd say, one of the first comic book characters that, yeah, goes for the hard R rating right away and breaks the fourth wall, which is fittingly perfect for Saturday Night Live. I think he's like the first time that you can actually get somebody that is somebody stepping outside of a movie screen into...
Could you imagine just him hosting and just playing different characters in the suit the whole time? So they've got to put like wigs on him and like just legit doing like all the different costumes over his suit.
That would be hilarious.
I just don't... Number one, I don't know if you could do that for an entire show. Just like physically, he might pass out. But I don't know if he would work on network television because he's such a vulgar and just really mean-spirited
character.
You gotta
be handy with the bleep button.
Well, and that's actually a good point, which what we were talking about like 2 minutes ago. He's a Fox character then, so that probably put the tape in right there that he can't jump over to SNL because SNL is what, NBC? And yes, that's not a Fox for, I mean, Fox will hold on to that, you know, they won't let that go for.
Do you think because it's the character and like not actually Ryan Reynolds, they could probably put a stop to
so
it?
So here's
but
where,
why would they want to?
Here's where it gets
more
really, really tricky. Deadpool. Here's where it gets really, really tricky. Fox has film rights to Deadpool. Marvel Studios has TV rights to Deadpool.
Oh, okay,
Stanley. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like that's why Disney has like a Spider-Man cartoon because Sony has film rights, but they don't have TV rights. Deadpool has made appearances in like the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon a couple times.
Is he worth watching in that?
Yeah, he's actually okay. It's actually some of the better episodes. And I'm pretty sure the voice is done by the guy from Clueless. Not Paul Rudd, but the Stater guy that,
you know, it's
gonna kill me. He's from what was that?
Road Trip.
Yeah. And like the really bad lawyer with, Zach from, Saved by the Bell, Franklin and Bash.
Oh,
name dropping Franklin.
Breckenmeyer.
Breckenmeyer.
Yeah. Breckenmeyer.
Are you sure that's Breckenmeyer?
I think it's Breckenmeyer.
So Deadpool has responded. Not Ryan Reynolds, but Deadpool has responded.
To the petition for SNL?
To the petition.
And what has he said?
Well, he went on a Kanye-esque Twitter rant.
Oh.
If you've been under a rock and have not been on Twitter, Kanye is good for at least one rant per day or every other day. And so he went on a Kanye West Twitter rant about why he's too big for SNL. And then a Kanye video or audio of a video released of him complaining the night of SNL and threatening to walk out because they were changing his stage.
Bro, he's 50% more influential than Pablo Picasso.
Yeah.
Is that an equation?
Yeezy.
So I've always wondered that, because ever since he made that statement, is fame based on an equation then?
How the fuck? No, there's no way you can measure that shit. Of course not.
Not at all.
It's like jealousy. You can't measure it.
But Deadpool came out with his own, I should say, there was audio footage released of Deadpool's rant about how important he is and why he won't host SNL.
Let's play 7.5 seconds of that, because we can't get in trouble.
7.5 seconds.
There we go.
I know. I think we go. We can go up to nine.
We are in 2016. I think that's a new rule in 2016.
So here's some of the audio if you haven't heard it.
Let's go.
Hey, Cass. I'm gonna break the motherfucking internet. It's 7 years since X-Men Origins. Fuck this shit. I'm the biggest rated R movie of all time. Are they fucking crazy? I'm 50% more influential than MC Hammer.
So just in case you didn't know, it's a pretty R-rated movie.
Yeah. They
10% more influential than Barbara Bush.
Well, in the Kia Sorento. And the Kia Sorento has molded a generation, if I'm not mistaken.
But yeah, so I think the Deadpool craze has been awesome. I think it's been well-received because he's been a fan favorite for so long. So it's cool to see that. And another thing that the Deadpool movie has sparked is now an interest again in rated R superhero movies.
Yep. My personal favorite. I think we all know I love R-rated action films.
Yeah. Brian is the pro of R-rated action flicks.
Yeah. Yeah, it tugs at my heartstrings.
But it was just I guess it was leaked or announced that Batman vs. Superman will have a director's cut that's rated R.
Oh, what? Zack Snyder's teasing an extended version of his movie?
Uh-huh.
No way.
And so this is the thing, though. So
he's never done that before.
What's interesting is the fact that this isn't just announced after the success of Deadpool, but they apparently applied for this R rating for the director's cut in September. So they were already gearing up to release a rated R version of Batman vs. Superman. Which, if you've read any of Frank Miller's Dark Knight or seen that anime comic, that's very violent.
I've got a question for you, Dan. Are they planning on releasing a director's cut version from another director? Because I would be interested in seeing that movie if it's not Zack Snyder.
I think they have Joel Schumacher on the line. Ooh, but I don't know.
Nipples and cod pieces.
Michael Bay?
Yep.
Hey, is he next? Hey, you question. Would so would they dual up. Release it? Would they release a PG-13 version?
No, I think the fact is that won't be released until maybe like it'll come back in the theaters.
So
like sometimes they do like Star Wars went away and then it like came back.
What I think will happen with that is it's what's happened with Die Hard with a Vengeance. If you guys remember that happened in I think 05 or 06. But basically they were shooting for an R-rated movie for that. And basically directed and cut an R-rated movie for that.
You talking about Live Free or Die Hard?
Live Free or Die Hard. That's what I'm sorry. I'm like, sorry. The fourth one.
Die
Hard with a Vengeance. Yeah,
I was like, Die Hard with a Vengeance, that's the most R-rated movie I've ever seen.
My bad. So, no, Live Free or Die Hard, the fourth one that came out or whatever in 05 or 06 or whatever.
Where Justin Long replaced Samuel Jackson.
Yep. And, damn, you remember that really well, huh? And
his daughter grows up to be hot.
And I think Kevin Smith's in it at the end. Too.
Kevin Smith is in that movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's his face?
Timothy Olyphant. Timothy Olyphant is the villain. But basically, they were cutting an entire R movie, script, everything like that. And then at the last minute, the studio decided that they wanted to recut it for a PG-13 movie. What's probably going to happen is just because they want to save theater costs, theater revenue. They'll only release a PG-13 movie. This will come out as an R-rated director's cut DVD, and that thing will blow up or whatever. They'll gauge the sales on that R-rated director's cut and possibly put it back in the theater based on those sales. But that's only how they're going to do it, because the cost is going to come re-releasing it back into the theaters.
So I've got one question for you fellas before we move on. What is one superhero movie you would like to see rated R?
Ooh.
Well, for me, it's easy. I mean, Wolverine. That.
Which, hey, yeah, that's actually a possibility.
Right.
That
there's
may
there's
shoot
rumors
for
that, based off the success of Deadpool's R rating, that they might release an R-rated Wolverine movie. And I mean, they can't do anything worse than Wolverine Origins. And I feel really bad that Hugh Jackman might have walked away from the role because he was just over it and he's going to miss his opportunity to participate in the R-rated movie. But I mean, his that character is just so violent and so raw and animalistic. And, you know, obviously having the fucking giant daggers coming out of your hands, you're going to be slicing some fools up. I would love to see that on screen.
So for me personally, I'm not thinking necessarily Marvel. I remember a really, really terrible movie back in the day with John Leguizamo, Spawn. I'd like to see Spawn get an R rating.
I thought you were going to say Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah. Yeah, another one. Bob Hoskins.
It's me. Damn, Daniel.
Wow. Look at that.
Yeah, Spawn. I think Spawn would be a good R-rated movie, especially now for this generation that's looking for that kind of stuff. How about you, Dan?
I hear both your opinions, and I think they're valid. And I think besides an R-rated Batman flick, like standalone, which, you know, has kind of been rumored, but we're kind of already getting R-rated Batman, I would love to see an R-rated Spider-Man movie with Carnage.
Oh.
Because that is a villain in which you can only really be rated R if you want to do it right. Because it's so violent, it's so obnoxious.
He's
and
a serial killer, isn't
he's
he?
He's a serial killer, yeah. And it's so dark that if you did it 6 years from now, like, you could do it well. And the fact is, you still have like the Peter Parker humor in it, but it would be a pretty dark rated R film.
And even have Venom in there too. And do Venom right.
Yeah. Now we're getting into the lore, and it might be nerding out for a quick minute, but is that the same symbiote as Venom?
It's an offspring.
Okay. Cool. And we're back to...
No, Brett, it's an offspring of Venom symbiote.
And we're right, back to non-nerd talk.
Probably the same symbiote that is originally attached to Spider-Man, right? That turns his suit black.
That's what Venom is, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, well, that'll be good. I think Spider-Man and Carnage...
Exactly. He doesn't turn his suit black, damn it.
Yeah.
It's a whole different suit together. Don't trust Spider-Man 3 and Sam Raimi's bullshit.
Yeah. Mm. Or even like what we were talking about too is I think a Suicide Squad.
Topher Grace was.
No, but I think a Suicide Squad would be a good R-rated flick too.
Oh yeah.
I
mean, Joker. Sure. Oh, could you imagine a rated R Joker?
It would be very good. And I think that was what I was a little bit disappointed too. I mean, you could tell that from the casting when they were doing Will Smith, Jared Leto, Margot Robbie and things like that. You're like, okay, these people are probably getting an ensemble PG-13.
Yeah. But maybe a sequel could be rated R.
Yeah.
Because I think it's hard to do, like, it's hard to, I think, justify a movie like that without a predecessor and be like, we'll have a rated R. Because PG-13 just means more ticket sales.
Well, now that Deadpool's come out, I think it's kind of turning the tables a little bit. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just got to do it well, you know? Deadpool's a really hard, I think.
Hard.
Very hard. A hard mold to follow because it's just so different. So I think it's got to be appropriate, like, not to make every
definitely
upcoming movie R-rated. But, like, yeah, seeing an R-rated Batman movie, please.
I just don't want to see his parents get killed again. Oh, my God.
Well, I don't think we have to. I think they just springboard off, you know, Batman versus Superman. How about an R-rated Superman movie where he just, like, rips dudes apart and... like flicks their heads off.
Yeah, I mean, Injustice kind of got there a little bit. I think Injustice could be a little bit of an R-rated one.
Crisis Infinite Flash rated R movie.
Ooh, that'd be good
because
too.
Because that's where you have Batman in the alternate universe who just kills people with guns.
I think people are slowly turning down the dial on this podcast.
Yeah, I'm gonna go make some chimichanga for another day.
And we will be back. We got some other stuff coming along the pipeline too, don't we?
Yeah, stay tuned for a special announcement, and we will be jumping into the world of professional wrestling in our last segment too.
Get your jorts ready.
Dun, 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 nah.
'Cause we talking about wrestling. I suddenly want to drink half of a six pack of Coors Light and then spill the other half down my chest. Is that just me?
No, I'm That's feeling me. Too. Just go stomping down the ramp too, like swearing at everybody like you got like the worst day ever.
He had a lot of bad days apparently, even though he was like one of the most successful wrestlers.
He sold it like he came straight from like a pepper mill and was just coming straight out from the pepper mill to the
pepper mill.
A pepper mill?
Like any like old school factory. Jesus Christ, guys. Yeah.
Did they actually make pepper in a mill?
All right. Let's not go down the pepper mill road. If you don't know what that sound is, that is Stone Cold Steve Austin's intro music. That glass shattering brings me back to my childhood. But we have a whole segment to talk about wrestling. But the first thing we wanted to open up is to inform you all.
Rhino Stumbo!
About the first ever Pop Not Soda event, the first annual charity pub crawl, the Royal Stumble.
Yeah, baby.
Damn, Daniel, dropping the Royal Stumble on him?
Back at it again with the Royal Stumble.
Back at it again for the first time, Daniel.
we have, I think, teased this in our last episode. And it will be a charity pub crawl hosted by us on March 19th, Saturday at 2 p.m.
And we're going down 30th Street and University.
For a 30 entrance of the Royal Rumble, ooh, 30th Street.
Baby, yeah. That's fitting right there.
Come dressed as your favorite professional wrestler.
We got a Facebook invite out on it. We've been teasing it on our
Check our out website. Our Instagram, our Twitter, our Facebook page. There is a Facebook event open.
And we're not just doing it to get drunk. There's a good cause that it's going towards.
Well, yeah. That's one of the reasons.
That's one of the reasons. But yeah, we want to raise money for the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America. And to help in the fight against Crohn's and Colitis, which are diseases in which don't have a cure yet.
Yeah. And I think it's near and dear to a few of the people that we've had on the show in the past.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah, so I think this is something that we found
it's
a cord.
It's a very good cause.
Yeah, exactly. So this is going to be fun. March 19th is when it's going to happen. We're starting at 2?
2 p.m. Saturday, March 19th. Saturday.
Boom! And we're going to be giving away prizes.
Yeah, we'll have some prizes. We'll have some wrestling trivia, a promo off, so who can ever give the best promo. Maybe an arm wrestling contest. Mm-hmm. And I think whoever donates the most during the pub crawl will go home champion with a championship belt.
And we haven't drawn up the logistics for that whole donation thing, but I think it should be the person that donates and also collects the most during the crawl. Because we're going to have a tip jar, I think.
Oh, that's a good point.
And we're going to have, you know, certain things. We'll probably have a banner and things like that. But if somebody can actually get the most money too, I think that that's what we'll want.
Yeah, if you're the hand that's putting the money in, that goes down as your donation.
Boom.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
But yeah, and if you haven't noticed, the three of us do enjoy professional wrestling. And that was in the news this week, surprisingly.
Because
why? Why is that surprising?
Dan didn't know what to say right there. No,
is
but
it that jorts are back in style? I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
It's because usually that's not like a headline. Like usually, you know, wrestling isn't something that's making a lot of headlines for, you know, storyline reasons. But it did this week because there was an unexpected return of a character who's been away for about 8 years now.
Yeah, exactly. The last time he was seen on TV was congratulating Rory McIlroy for his PGA Tour win. I looked that up. Yep. It was in 2008, I believe.
What the hell is he doing talking to Rory McIlroy?
I don't know. I don't know what was going on.
Well, it's because he runs a Chinese
cable
like YouTube cable company.
Yeah. But if no one knows what we're talking about, it was Shane O'Mac.
Shane McMahon.
Vince McMahon.
Money.
Yeah, who's a fantastic wrestler, too.
He just likes to take bumps.
I wouldn't go that far.
I mean, I think he's a...
I love him. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. He's Jeff Hardy without all the drugs.
I mean, he can take a fall. He can jump off a lot of high...
Dude, I still can't get over that Falls Count Anywhere match between him and Kurt Angle where he went through plates of glass like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, and he didn't go through it right the first time.
No, they were like, oh, it didn't break. Well, throw me through again.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was what was cool is as WWE is becoming less and less interesting, I think we all have complaints about Fastlane.
Well, it's because like half their roster is injured right now.
Well, half their roster is injured, but there's also, we saw Fastlane on pay-per-view that happened, what, last Sunday?
Last Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, and you can totally tell that Vince McMahon is still the only one that has any control over the company. And that's, I think, what the problem is when it comes to creative, there's a lot of people under him that know exactly what to do. You have Triple H that's created NXT that's much more interesting than WWE. You have a lot of people that have great ideas, but Vince McMahon is totally, totally sold on what he wants to do with the company. And I think this was the first time where it was almost a fourth wall kind of thing where they were acknowledging that they've been shitty for, I mean, in the promo himself, I mean, Shane McMahon came out and said, listen, you guys have sucked. You guys aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing. And how much of that's character, because that's been Shane the entire time. But I think it's something interesting to see where it might be the first time where Vince McMahon's going like, shit, man. People might actually have like a good idea and I might need to listen to it.
Yeah, if you saw, Shane is coming back storyline-wise because he wants to take control of Monday Night Raw, which is the main show of the company. And to do so, Vince put him in a match at WrestleMania against Undertaker for...
Sounds fair.
Yeah, totally fair. In a Hell in a Cell, which will be very interesting. Which just means a lot of big bumps and crazy stunts.
My money is on the Undertaker.
Do you think another Mankind will happen?
No, because I honestly think that this is a framework that if John Cena can somehow miraculously heal faster than any human being alive, that he will somehow represent Shane in this match.
No, people are wanting to see Shane fight, though.
Yeah, but people do, but he's also a 46-year-old dude who hasn't wrestled in like 9 years.
I don't know, man. He came back. I told Allison about it. I was like, that's somebody that's been training somehow. He's
drinking
either
that
been
Vince
in
the McMahon smoothie.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is steroids and HGH.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think he's been in the ring. It looked like he'd been in the ring for the last month or so training, preparing for some.
He did still shuffle his feet.
Yep.
I do think, though, John Cena may like maybe play like a manager role, some like
referee.
It could be, because
is he going to be wearing jorts?
Yes, that or camo. Don't think about his camo pants because that's why you can't see him.
Damn, Daniel with the camo. The camo cargs, all day on John Cena.
Yeah, I do think he's going to have some play, and I mean this could well be Undertaker's retirement match.
Yeah, and this is supposed to retire last year.
I guess on that note, do you think that there should be a better competitor for, as much as I love Shane McMahon, do you think that there's somebody more worthy of retiring The Undertaker at a pay-per-view event, especially
I think the only other way they could have gone with this match is if you turned Roman Reigns heel, had him lose at Fastlane, and then fight The Undertaker.
But I think people are very, very tired of seeing Roman Reigns right now.
Well, no. They don't want him as a babyface. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. I don't even know that. I don't even think he'd work as a heel.
Oh, I think he'd... picture this. Picture a heel Roman Reigns that turns on his friend Dean Ambrose, says he doesn't need friends, he doesn't need fans, and he doesn't need family, so he turns on The Rock. And then he fights The Undertaker at WrestleMania because he thinks he can beat anybody and that he's the baddest doll in the yard. And in that match... the only reason why Roman Reigns takes it is because if he beats Undertaker, Undertaker has to retire.
Yeah.
And then you let it leak that the Undertaker is going to face John Cena next year. And that'll be his retirement
match.
But
you can't tease like another retirement match.
No, but that's the whole thing. Is you say so people think that the Undertaker is not going to lose. And then how do you get the mega heat on Roman Reigns is you have him as a bad guy retire the Undertaker.
Mm. See, I don't know. I think what I think is happening behind the scenes right now with WWE is you have a lot of people that have stacked their cards against anybody. Like, they've stacked their cards in the corner of anybody other than Roman Reigns. And when you have all these injuries happening or whatever, you have all this creative people behind the scenes going like, damn it, why wasn't it Roman? Like, that's the one person we actually needed to get injured. So we didn't have to rice him and force feed him into all these really high profile matches.
Doesn't work
that
as a face, man, and he hasn't been booked well.
No, I don't even think he works. Though he can't work a mic. You're going to give a heel.
I'm talking about in the match. Like, you don't have to. Goldberg was never on the mic, and he was a perfect heel. Like, you just he works really well, and he works really well with big guys. Like, him and Brock Lesnar should just wrestle all the time because they actually hit each other, and they go for it, and his moves look so much better on Brock because he's actually tackling, he's actually punching him.
Well, that and the fact that he, you know, maybe is not as strong as Brock, but showed.
Well, I don't think anyone's like as strong as Brock.
One of the most impressive things that I saw at the pay-per-view is when Roman Reigns, with Brock Lesnar holding him, just stands up casually and has and
basically
has Brock
like
Lesnar
deadlifted
just resting,
him.
Yeah,
basically
just resting
deadlifted
on his leg.
Him.
Yeah. That was crazy. Yeah. And did it, you know, like
kind of with ease almost.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. So that was really impressive.
But
I heard I think he's just really entertaining and people want to see that.
Yeah,
you know?
And
Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar?
Well, both. But okay. I think Roman Reigns specifically, he's, you know, probably one of the better, more athletic guys that are currently wrestling. I mean, you know, figure out a way to make his backstory better, but you have to have him in the ring against high-profile guys.
You just make him somebody that, because they already kind of don't like him as a face, so you just unite the fans and don't be like, well, half of them are rooting for him, half of them don't want him to win, so you make him a heel where everyone just dislikes him, and you're over. That's what they did with Hulk Hogan and WCW.
But the problem is, though, is you can't give a heel. The problem is where I feel right now with Roman Reigns, and I mean, it's what's happened since he's been introduced to professional wrestling, is he has no mic ability whatsoever.
It's gotten a lot better when they don't script things for him.
No, I wouldn't even
when
say
he,
that.
When he comes off the cuff, it's good. When they don't make him say sucker and sucker-tash, like, that's not his fault. They wrote that for
but
him.
But the believability in whatever he's saying, even if they're not writing his lines, the believability in whatever he's delivering, it's not there. And I think, like, if he's already operating at such, like, an impaired threshold of performing on the mic, if you're going to give that to a heel, it's easier to be a heel on the mic. It's clearly obvious. It's easier to be a heel on the mic. He doesn't even have, if you downscaled that half to what he's already doing on the mic, I don't even think he's capable of being a heel. That's the problem.
But he doesn't have to be a talkative heel. That's the thing.
Well, what are you going to do? I'm sticking with Heyman?
No, you technically, that actually could work, but no, you just have him go out there and just murder people. Like, physically just take people out. Like, start, like, injuring people. Like, that's how you build it. Like, he doesn't need to say much.
You know what? You are on something.
He just needs to say, believe that. Like,
because you are on something. Because when he went rogue, what was it, for Royal Rumble? And just kicked the crap out of Triple H.
No,
after
it was
that.
Survivor Series.
Survivor Series. Everybody loved that.
And when he
Everybody
kicked
loved
Vince McMahon,
that.
When he punched Vince in the face, like, was taking out Sheamus and all the League of Nations. Like, when he has to go against a bunch of people and he's just leveling them.
Not on a mic.
That's how he's well booked. Yeah, and so... Booking
maybe
though,
don't put him on a mic,
but don't put him in a match against the top two baby faces in the company and expect for him to be cheered. Like, people love Brock and people love Dean Ambrose. They're the two top faces in the company right
people
now.
People love that because of the impairment in the writing where they're pushing Roman Reigns. That's the problem why people love that, is people love rooting against Roman Reigns. I don't think it's necessarily that people love better performers or anything like that. People love seeing that Roman Reigns isn't going to be getting the guy that's going to get pushed because it's Vince McMahon's dude. I think that's the serious issue down to the core.
I just thought the tough part was you put him in a face versus face match.
You could put him with Doink the Clown.
No.
And people will be people will be rooting for Doink the Clown as the best baby face.
What I'm saying
is
you need to put him against a heel, somebody that the crowd hates. And that the problem
But that's
was,
not going to change the dynamic of how the crowd is rooting against Roman Reigns for somebody
root,
to
they'll
win.
They'll root against Sheamus, which they did, but they won't root against Triple H.
Yeah, I just think it's a lost cause with Roman Reigns because he has no ability when it comes to delivering a character. He has no character delivery outside of just physical performance.
Because it's this character that they
even
want
Brock
him
Lesnar,
to deliver.
Even Brock Lesnar outperforms him vocally, just doing things. He's more believable as a character when he even says things.
I'm just going to say, just wait till if they ever show him as a heel, and then I think you would change, but you can't talk about what he would be as a heel because he was very popular as a heel when he was in the Shield.
That was an anti-hero click, I think. That wasn't necessarily a heel click.
Oh,
I'd
yeah.
say why
it, it, no, it was a heel when they came out, first off. Yeah. But anyway, moving towards WrestleMania, I'm a little concerned because the only other matches they have set up is Brock Lesnar versus Dean Ambrose and in a street fight, which sounds amazing. And then they have Triple H versus Roman Reigns, but they haven't set anything else up. And so I'm really worried what's going to happen to Chris Jericho, AJ Styles, and Kevin Owens, which I think they all three should battle for the Intercontinental Championship. But
this, triple threat?
Yes. But this week, and have like Jericho go heel on AJ Styles, which may happen, but they've now paired AJ with Jericho as a tag team.
Against who?
Anybody. Like they fought the Social Outcasts this Monday on Raw, and then they teamed up with Mark Henry tonight on SmackDown against The New Day.
Okay, so that's a good match, okay. But. So that's what I've got a problem with, I guess, with WWE these days too. Is what is a tag team and what is just a group these days? Because it seems like they always just adapt to. You can downscale somebody from like a 3-person clique to a 2-person clique when it comes to tag team, but they're not necessarily deemed a tag team. Well, like the New Day, Social Outcast, things like that, or what? Yeah, but I understand that. But they're still like there's like this tag team competition through these cliques that aren't. Or these factions
I'll
that aren't.
I'll tell you the real. So New Day is a tag team.
It's very Xavier, convenient writing.
Xavier just is more of a manager at times, but he can fight. Because whenever they fight with their championships, Xavier never wrestles.
Okay.
He's managing.
Okay.
He only fights when it's a 3-on-3.
It just seems like this half-assed way of if we're gonna introduce a tag team worthy belt and things like that or whatever, they're doing it in a really shitty way because you're just downgrading factions. You're taking a lot of people, like you're removing one person from a faction and then calling it a tag team and then shoving them into a ring against somebody that's been vested as a tag team for 6 months to a year or whatever.
Well,
like Uso
they've
Brother.
Only done that with the New Day, and that's again with Xavier managing. Like,
I mean, they fought Uso Brothers, things like that though too.
But yeah, but the Usos are only two.
That's what I'm saying. Well,
don't they do that with the Wyatt family at times?
Yeah, the Wyatt family's grown to like a 4-person.
But that's a little
just
different.
Conveniently. But that's another thing, though, is like that's another problem, which is what I'm trying to get to, is you never know who's actually approaching the match or whatever until like the week because the writing becomes convenient for that week or whatever, where they're going, all right, we had 4 people that they were looking over. The audience is continually wondering who out of the 4 people they're going to deem as a tag team for this pay-per-view event, which is like.
I think the thing is,
me?
None of those tag teams are actually competing for the championship. Only 2 sets of 2 are competing. The New Day is unique because, again, they have Xavier who acts more as a manager.
And so are the Social Outcasts.
But the Social Outcasts are just a faction. They're never going to get a title shot because they're just 4 guys that are jobbers.
And then what about the Alberto Del Rio's clique?
So, again, that was a U.S. champion, and then they had a World Heavyweight champion, and then Rusev and Wyatt were a tag team. But now that they lost their titles and Wyatt's Barrett's leaving the company, I don't know what's going to happen to that faction. But because of injuries, like they've become heels now, and then you haven't Alberto Del Rio doesn't really team up because he's been fighting Kalisto for the U.S. So
it's not a faction anymore.
They're a faction, but it was usually Rusev and Sheamus as a tag team because Barrett was hurt and. Dorio's fighting for the U.S.
Which is what I'm saying is it's always adapting out of these factions for these tag teams.
But that's how
it
was back in the Attitude Era.
No, you had the Rockers, you had Demolition.
But think
like,
about when you had the Un-Americans, and you think you had the Hart Dynasty, and you had the League of
Nation of Domination.
Nation of Domination. Yeah. Like those are all 4-5 people factions. Dietz. Like, sometimes it was the Road Warriors, sometimes it was Etzpac and somebody else, like, getting
the
championship.
Dudley Brothers?
Yeah, I mean, and they had Spike Dudley.
Tag right. team.
The Cousin.
And then you had Christian and Edge, and you had Rhino. Like, it's always been sometimes more than 2.
Yeah.
So, it's always been there. They just have gone back to factions where you haven't seen it in, like, the past 6 years.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to sell a tag team push right now when you could tell that the writing doesn't give a shit about it.
Well, it's just, like, again... injuries, and then you've got Usos, you've got Lucha Dragons, and you've got the New Day, and they've beat everybody. And you have the Dudleys. They're like 4 deep right now because the Ascension isn't doing well. So they need to bring up Enzo and Cass, and then you have somebody fresh, somebody the crowd loves, and top faces to face the New Day.
Yeah.
Which I really hope they do for WrestleMania, but we'll see.
Yeah.
So, I hope I never see the New Day on TV ever again.
I love them. They're so entertaining.
So predictions for WrestleMania, though. What do we think is going to happen? I guess... Who do you think is going to be the heavyweight championship? Who do
Roman
you
Reigns will
Roman
win.
Reigns will come out of that. Okay, Brian, what about you? You think Roman Reigns will win that?
Yeah.
Okay. As sad as it sounds, I think Roman Reigns is going to come out of
it. I think Dean Ambrose beats Brock Lesnar, though, in a street fight.
I mean, but see, that's another thing, though, is like these street fights, like, I don't... why are you selling a street fight on a pay-per-view?
Right.
That's all back
with a ridiculous matchup.
That makes no sense why people are paying a high dollar to go into a go into a venue to see it, and then all it's going to be doing is filmed in a studio.
I don't think that will be in backstage. A street fight just means no holds bars, where they will just be, it'll be like Shawn Michaels versus Triple H at SummerSlam 2002.
So
it's in the ring.
It's in
no
the
rules.
Ring, but there's no rules. It's no holds barred.
A lot of headshots.
Yeah, and yeah, I think that's exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be like the street fight that was at with Brock Lesnar and Triple H, and the street fight between Brock Lesnar and John Cena, because he's been in two in the past 3 years, and they've both been in the ring. They haven't gone backstage.
Yeah, all I know is I'd be really pissed if I saw any portion of a fight happening where I couldn't see it, and I paid $100 for
a ticket. Can't go backstage at WrestleMania because it's too damn big. Especially in AT&T Arena.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Yeah, take a 5 minute walk. Take a five minute walk to the locker.
Right.
Everything will be in the rain, but you're just going to see lots of weapons, lots of high spots, lots of different use.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it's going to be good. I think any surprise guests though. Do you think anybody? We'll wrap this up with this. Do you think anybody will return? Obviously, The Rock's been talked about so far. Not to trump that, because I just want to steal that from
everybody.
And
Stone Cold Steve Austin has been talked
about too. Yeah, Stone Cold's been talked about too. But do you think there's anybody that's just out of the woodwork that no one's talked about so far, but you're expecting to pop up?
Ronda Rousey.
Ooh, okay. That's been a hit or miss. How about you, Brian?
Maybe Daniel Bryan.
Ooh, Daniel Bryan.
Daniel. With all those concussions.
Damn, Brian. I think for me personally, I think Shawn Michaels may come back.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
But he was there last WrestleMania, wasn't he?
They call him WrestleMania.
Did he come out with the DX?
I thought he did.
DX pack?
He didn't come out, but then he appeared in the ring. He kicked Sting's face.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. So
I think so is Ronda Rousey. She was at WrestleMania last year, too.
I think Shawn Michaels would probably be the more likely one, or Bret Hart. But Bret Hart's going through a bunch of stuff right now. So
he's got thoughts and prayers of Bret Hart.
Yeah, exactly. Pop Not Soda sends it out to you. I think that's a good way to wrap it up, though, is we had a good discussion.
Yeah, we wrap it up better than WWE Creative.
Oh.
Ooh.
Damn, Daniel.
That's a low blow.
Yeah, so thank you guys for listening to Pop Not Soda. As always, you can find new episodes every Monday on iTunes Podcasts or here at popnotsoda.podbean.com. If you miss us during the week, we do have some one-minute episodes that each of us will be putting out, so be on the lookout for that. Brian's What I'm Watching. I've got my Dirt Dab. And you can also find more information about the Royal Stumble on the event page on Facebook, or check our podcast Facebook page as well for updates. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at pop_notsoda. Brett is at Niece's Pieces. Brian is at BOwen619.
Don't forget March 19th, y'all.
And myself, I'm at Dan_Perez_.
And March 19th.
Royal Stumble.
Remember?
The 19th of March?
Or what's the Beware the Ides of March?
Ooh, I like that one.
Damn.
But that's the 16th.
Damn, Daniel.
It's just the middle,
Or it's the 15th. 15th or 16th. Yeah, it's the middle of March. Anyway, we are great at wrapping up episodes. We will see you all later. Catch you on the flip side.
Ides of March.